You know, it's not unusual for teenagers to be embarrassed by their parents. Have you ever noticed that? It's not unusual for a teenager to be embarrassed by mom or dad. And as much as that's not a happy thought on Mother's Day, there was a young teenage girl once who was, perhaps you could say, rightly so, embarrassed by her mother. Her mother had very ugly, I guess would be one way to say it, hands and arms. So much so that when they went out in public, the mother always tried to wear long sleeves and to make sure that her arms and her hands were properly covered because they were very unsightly to see. And of course, this teenage girl, as all teenagers supposedly are, was very conscious about what others thought when they saw her mother's hands and arms. So she always made sure that her mom was properly covered, and she always made sure that she walked either 5 steps ahead or 10 steps behind just to make sure that nobody knew that she was with that lady. One day when they were checking out at Sears, there was a line of folks that were waiting there to pay the cashier for those things that they had collected. And the mother accidentally dropped her wallet on the ground, on the floor. When she bent down to pick it up, as you would expect, her hand and good part of her arm stretched out beyond her sleeve. And there almost seemed to be a collective gasp when all of the people in line saw the hideous nature of this mother's arms. The little girl was very embarrassed. She ran out to the car crying. They got home and the little girl finally said, "Mom, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your arms? Why can't you be like everybody else?" The mom finally decided it was time to tell her daughter what had happened. She told her daughter that when she was just a very young infant, her daughter, that her mom had woken up to her house being emblazed in flames. It was an inferno. Mother woke up with flames all around throughout the house. And she easily could have just stepped out the front door and escaped no harm. But as a loving mother, she ran upstairs to her little girl's room, got her out of the crib, nestled her to her chest, protecting her all the way through the flames till she got outside and her arms were on fire. She laid down her daughter, completely unharmed, but her arms and her hands would never be the same. Having heard that story, you can imagine the impact that it had on that little girl. That little girl broke down in tears, crying her eyes out, and she took her mom's hands and her arms and she started kissing and sobbing on those mangled limbs that she was once so embarrassed by. As you think about not just that mother, but as today you think about mothers and all that they have done and all that they do that goes unnoticed, that goes unappreciated, and in fact, on some occasions, creates some sort of frustration and ill will and animosity at times. This morning, I want us to take that illustration of learning to appreciate our mothers and what they've done. And I want us to come to the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that was read. And I want us to do something a little different with the study of the Word of God today. Usually the way that you would approach a study of the Word of God is you would jump into the passage, that you would try to understand the passage in its context, that you would try to dissect the text in order to understand what was being written, why it was being written, and what the recipients understood it to be saying. And then, as the final thing you would do, is to step back and try to make application to ourselves. What can we learn from this, and how can we apply it to ourselves? This morning, I want us to turn that around. And the first thing I want us to do is to try to take some thoughts from this passage, try to apply them to what we've just been talking about in appreciation of our mothers today, and then in the second place to turn back around, come back to the text, and see what is the text actually saying, and how can we make application of that, not just to mothers, but there's application in this text for every single one of us this morning, if we'll look at it. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And there was an interesting relationship that Paul had. He had it with all of those that he helped to be converted to Christ. But it's specifically mentioned here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he says to these Christians, you know, I was like a mother. Now, obviously, Paul was not actually their mother. There were times when Paul talked about Timothy being his son in the faith. Timothy was not his son. Paul was not his father. Timothy had a Greek who was his father. But spiritually speaking, Timothy was his son. Spiritually speaking, Paul was his father. Spiritually speaking, Paul says to this church in Thessalonica, I was to you like a mother. And what's interesting is Paul says that. That's not the main focus of what he's talking about. As Paul says that, that is not the main point that he's trying to get his readers to understand. It's almost as if God drops this in here to create an image in the minds of his readers of who Paul was to these Christians. And then God goes right on with this letter, not coming back to that thought ever again. It's almost serendipitous. What we can see about mothers just from this passage. And it's not a passage that's talking about mothers. But I believe in those verses that were read in verses 6 through 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that we can see seven virtues, qualities, characteristics, traits. That there are seven virtues in just those few verses about godly mothers. And what I want us to do is I just want us to look at these to recognize how God just kind of drops these here, not to dwell on them, but just to mention them. And to see that we can take these seven qualities, these seven virtues, and hold them up and on the one hand say, aren't you thankful that you've known mothers who have had these virtues? Aren't you thankful that you have known mothers who did not come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 to learn how to be a mother, but instead we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and we see a picture of mothers that we have known, even though they may not have intentionally tried to apply these virtues to their life. Look back up in verse 6, where Paul says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6, that when he came to the church in Thessalonica, that he wanted them to understand that he did not come to them as one who was seeking his own glory. There are some maternal virtues here that we need to see mothers having towards their own children. And one of those maternal virtues is what Paul says. Paul says, when I came to you, I did not seek my own glory. Have you ever known mothers? Have you ever known of a mother who was unpretentious? Of a mother who was not doing things as a mom in order that she might get any glory for it? I recognize that being a mom doesn't have a whole lot of glory in and of itself, does it? Sometimes being a mom, let me say it this way. Most of the time, being a mom is the hardest job on earth. Harder than being a dad is being a mom. Have you ever known of a mother who started to be a mother because she wanted all the glory and the fanfare that came with it? Have you ever known of a mother who wanted to be a mother just so that she could get attention for being mom? No. You know, most godly mothers go about their day humbly, unpretentiously, not looking for any glory for being mom, but just because that's who they are. Paul says that's how he was. And serendipity, it's almost like that's what he's saying moms need to be. Unpretentious. But then you get down into verse 7. And there are two qualities down in verse 7. And I'm going to put these two together. One's at the beginning of the verse. One's at the end of the verse. Where Paul, again, in just dropping some qualities, some virtues that apply to moms, talks about the fact that he was gentle. Aren't you glad that your mom was gentle with you? Now, I know some of you are thinking about that switch tree that was out back, and you're thinking, that's not the picture of gentle that I have. But think about it. She sent you out there to get a switch. She didn't ask you to bring the whole trunk of the tree in that she might apply that to you, because she was gentle in her correction. Aren't you glad your mom was gentle? Aren't you thankful to know mothers who are gentle? Gentle doesn't mean weak. Gentle doesn't mean a pushover. Gentle doesn't mean that there's never any correction. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle." What does that mean about Jesus? Is he a weakling? Is he a wuss? Would he never stand up for anything? Here's a mom who's described as gentle. A woman who would know what is right and would stand up for what is right and try to teach her children what is right. And would try to maintain that sense of peace throughout the home. But at the end of verse 7, Paul describes a mother as one who cherishes, or New American Standard says, tenderly cares for her children. Your picture of a mom, somebody who's unpretentious. God's picture of a mom, someone who is gentle, someone who cherishes, someone who is tender in her treatment and her dealing with her children in her home. But look right there in the middle of verse 7. And depending on what translation you have, you may not even have the word mother in verse 7. If you have the word mother in verse 7, it's probably italicized, meaning that it was placed there by the translators. The word itself was not actually in the original, but it is talking about a mother, specifically in this part of the verse. Paul talks about that he was like a nursing mother. Now that is an image that you would not expect a preacher to make about himself. Paul came to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. He preached the gospel there, and as was the case in many places that Paul went, he was forced out of town by persecution. He was forced out of town before he was ready to go. Paul had preached the gospel, planted the gospel seed. It produced fruit. There were new converts that came as a result of it. What are new converts called in the New Testament but babes in Christ? And to those babes in Christ, Paul described himself as a nursing mother. What is a nursing mother concerned about? The nourishment and the feeding of her children. Paul was concerned about the nourishment and the feeding of these babes in Christ. And aren't you glad that you have known mothers who could be described as those who have as a part of their very makeup, as a part of their very heart, that they are nourishing towards their children? Look down in verse number 8. where Paul says, New American Standard says, beginning of verse 8, so affectionately longing for you. Paul wasn't there anymore. Paul had been forced out of town. And so as he was separated from them, Paul talked about being impassioned for them. He talked about his fondness for them. Apply this to the mothers. How many mothers do you know who are affectionately longing for their children? Who, when it comes to their children, there is an emotion that is created in them towards their children that is not created by anyone else for anyone else. The emotion that a mother has for her children is an emotion that God describes as one that is impassioned, affectionately desiring, longing for your children. What's interesting about this Greek word, as etymologists have been trying to discover its root and its meaning all the way back to how it was first used. This Greek word was found on the headstone of a baby who had died. And it talked about on that headstone just a few words, but this word was there to describe the parents, the mother's emotion for that baby who had died. How the mother was affectionately longing, impassioned towards that child, desire that could hardly ever be satisfied. Aren't you glad you've known mothers who, when it came to their children, that they were impassioned for them, that they longed for their children, they desired more than anything else for their children to live right and to do right. And then at the end of verse 8, the Bible says that we were well pleased. We were well pleased. We weren't coerced. We weren't forced. It's not something we felt that we had to do. Have you ever known mothers who, they were happy to do it? Well pleased to impart, to share, your translation may say, to share our own lives because you had become very dear to us. You know, there are mothers, unfortunately, there are mothers who will not share their hearts and their lives with their children, and that's to their children's detriment. But the word that's used here for share describes a woman who doesn't just give her entire life to the child, but gives so much of her life that the Bible says that the two of them share her life. Mom still has part of her life, but she has given so much of it for this child that that child is holding on to and sharing with even the mother's own life. Have you known mothers who were sacrificial? Have you known mothers who would have given their own lives for their children? There's something special. There's something special about moms. Something special about moms when you get to verse 9. The seventh quality. The seventh virtue that seems to apply, and you know moms that this would apply to, when Paul says that we labored night and day. And somehow my little word life just messed up that whole little deal right there. That's what PowerPoint will do to you. Where Paul says in verse 9, I labored night and day. Now look at what he says. How does he describe in verse 9? How does he describe his laboring? Some translations say through labor and toil, or through labor and hardship. The idea of labor, the word that's used there, is a word that means that this was a laborious state to which somebody would take themselves to exhaustion. To absolute fatigue. Moms, have you ever been there? Have you ever worked yourself, labored yourself so hard for your children and for your family that you reach the point of exhaustion and fatigue. That's what this word means. But then next to it is this word toil. And the word toil is, it goes beyond the idea of fatigue, and it means that there are hardships. There are struggles and difficulties that they not only worked towards, but that they worked through. And God just drops this little virtue here. He just drops this here to say, here's what moms are like. Moms are like those who are unpretentious. They're humble. They're not in it for their own glory. Moms, they're like those who are gentle and tender towards others. Moms, they're like those who are concerned about their children's nourishment and their care. You look at moms, and moms are those who are impassioned towards their children. They are ones who make sacrifices for their children. They are ones who labor to the point of exhaustion and toil and struggles in what they do. Why do moms do that? Why do Christian moms do what they do? Because there is this eternal aspect of being a mom. Psalm 127, the Bible says that children are a heritage from the Lord. Moms know better than anybody else that their children do not belong to them, that their children belong to God. Did Hannah recognize that about Samuel? That Samuel did not belong to her, he belonged to God. Did Mary recognize that about Jesus? He doesn't belong to me, he belongs to God. Did Eunice recognize that about Timothy? He doesn't belong to me, he belongs to God. There is an eternal aspect of being a parent. And that is recognizing that you're not only raising a human being, but that you are raising a soul that one day is going to spend an eternity in heaven or is going to spend an eternity in hell. And as Paul pictured himself as being like a mother, you'll notice in verse 2 and verse 4 and verse 8 and in verse 9 that Paul drops in here the whole focus of this situation, the whole focus of this matter is that the gospel, the good news, the saving power of Jesus Christ might have an impact on their life. It's not about what dress looks the best. It's not about what food is going to make your teeth look good. It's not about any of those things except for how in the world am I going to get you to heaven? And God says the only way that we get our kids to heaven is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That down in verse 12, he says, I have done all of these things just like a mother would do. By the way, when you pick up in verse 10 and 11, he flips it. He says, it's not just like I was a mother there. He says, it was like I was a father to you as well. But you get to the end of verse 12, and he says, I've done all of these things. I've treated you in all of these ways. I have made all of these concessions and all of these sacrifices in order that you might be a part of the kingdom of God. Thank God for mothers who look at the eternal aspect of their children's souls and take on these virtues and recognize the value that they can have, the eternal value that they can have in their children. We don't have time to look at these. Buzz, I'm not real happy with my PowerPoint right now. Since you're back there at the computer and I'm not, could you go in here and just take some stuff out, like food and growth, just take out insure. Nobody likes that stuff anyway. All right? And take out this word deep, because we're just staying in the shallow end anyway. And it's going to mess up here. Look, just kill it. You fix it, then we'll start it back up, because that's driving me nuts. Okay. I want you to take those seven virtues. I knew I should have checked this thing this morning. I want you to take those seven virtues and apply them to you. Because that's what Paul did. This is not a passage where Paul is talking about how to be a mother. Although, he drops these seven virtues right here. Says, here's what a godly mother is and what she does. But Paul's whole point is, here is how I live towards you. And child of God, there are seven qualities that we need to have towards each other. These are seven qualities that Paul said, I had towards you, you need to have towards each other. Do we have these towards each other? Are we, towards one another, are we unpretentious? Are we looking for credit? Are we looking for admiration? Or do we do things for each other because we love each other and we want to help one another? That's what Paul says. Verse 6, what did he say? I didn't come to you seeking my own glory. I didn't seek glory from men. I didn't seek glory from people. I wasn't concerned about that. If we as Christians are in it to seek glory for ourselves, Jesus said in John 8 and verse 50, I wasn't seeking glory for myself. If we seek glory for ourselves, we're taking a step that Jesus, the Son of God Himself, was not willing to take. Proverbs 25, verse 27, the Bible says, if you seek your own glory, that's not glory. Whatever you get, it's not going to be glory. Unpretentious, is that us towards each other? Are we gentle towards one another? Gentleness is something that a soldier of Christ must have, the last three verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Being tender, are we tender? Are we kindly affectionate towards one another? Ephesians 4 and verse 32, the Bible says, be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Is that our relationship with one another? Are we gentle? Are we tender? Are we concerned about nourishing each other, feeding each other? Are you concerned about your fellow Christians' growth? How many babes in Christ do we have in this congregation? How many people are in this congregation who've been baptized in the last year? What have you done personally? Not what have the elders done, not what have the deacons done, not what have our programs done, not what this, that. What have you done personally to feed and nourish and help to grow babes in Christ? You see, Christians are concerned about nourishing each other. Christians have an impassioned affection towards one another. Christians have a heart that is sacrificial towards each other. Let's see if this works. Buzz, you're a miracle worker. All right, so here's the impassioned affection, longing we're to have towards each other. Do you have that for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Paul says that's what he had. Paul said, I was willing to give up my own life for you. Romans chapter 9 and verse 3, Paul even said, if it were possible, I'd give up my own soul. I'd be condemned to hell if it would help somebody else go to heaven. That's where Paul was. How much are we willing to give up to help each other get to heaven? As you think about this last one, I'm being laborious. You think, well, that's what the preacher does every Sunday. He's laborious. How hard do you work for the Lord? And how hard do you work for your fellow Christians? In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9, Paul says, I labored night and day. You know why he did that? Specifically for the brethren in Thessalonica. He did it because he was building tents at night in order that he might make a living to feed his own body. In order that he might survive. He was making tents at night. What was he doing all day? Feeding and teaching them. Paul says, I worked myself to exhaustion. I worked myself to the point where I was dealing with struggles and toils and trials that were, well, read 2 Thessalonians or 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and see what he did. But Paul says, I did all of this, and the reason I did it was because of its eternal value. So that every one of us could make it to heaven. As you think about this day being Mother's Day, There is an honor that is due unto our mothers for all that they do, have done, and will continue to do. But as you think about a broader picture of 1 Thessalonians 2, it is our responsibility towards each other. May God help us to be His family, the kind of family that He'd have us to be. Are you one of God's children today? There are some things that are absolutely vital for you to do. Buzz, you might have to fix that one too because it's all messed up. There are some things that are absolutely vital for you to do. The Bible says you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that this morning? The Bible says you must repent. You've got to turn away from the wrong that's in your life. Have you done that? Have you made up your mind you're going to stop doing what's wrong? You want to start doing what's right? You want to give your life to the Lord? The Bible says you've got to confess the faith that's in your heart. And from that confession, submit yourself to be baptized into Christ. Baptized into His death where His blood can wash away every one of your sins. Have you ever done that? It's an interesting verse over in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. It says, blessed are those who die in the Lord, that their labor might cease, that they might rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. God calls upon us to labor for Him till the end of our life. There is an eternal value in it. There's the promise of heaven. The song we're going to sing says, all things are ready. Come to the feast. You ready to give your life to the Lord this morning? If we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and sing.